It was a few when I came down earlier. Yeah. Get a notification yet? Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 2:15, and we are excited that we have another day, an hour with you that we can go over some things in the Bible and be able to share some great news from the Word of God, rightly divided. And if you think about some things about our prayer requests and praise items, you know, we have a few people that are sick today. They couldn't make it down. And so we encourage them to take care of their bodies and encourage them to do the right thing. It is flu season. And with that being said, people's going to get sick and runny noses and all that stuff. So you know what to do with that. Also, just keep in thought and prayer that people that may not be working, maybe having a hard time financially, keep them in thought and prayer. Keep the people that are healthy and wealthy and wise, if you will, that they be able to understand where they're at and be able to continue this good news of the gospel of grace of God. Keep in mind our website. We're on YouTube channel. If you subscribe to the YouTube Dispensation Bible Church, you should be already getting a notification about this. Also, if you have an iPhone or Roku or Apple TV or some other things, you can also download a Boxcast app, and it's a green app, and you click it and then punch in Dispensational Bible Church, and you can watch us live. Also on our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, it's live there right now. So there's other avenues and ways and platforms that we're getting the Word of God out. If you see me rub my hands a little bit and my ears getting turned red, the heating system here is a little different, and also we're trying to get this church building warmed up. But needless to say, let me see what else we could talk about just for a second. I'll keep our many saints that are proclaiming the Word of God rightly divided. It seems like we're getting, you heard the term dark winter. It is winter time, or not yet, seasonally, But it is almost like politically in the times of the Gentiles, and we went through this in Daniel, that the God of this world is in control of some things, okay? And with that being said, the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that. But where is he at right now? He's in royal exile. That's where he's at. He's not here physically on this ground, but he's left his word and left his spirit in us to be the light in this dark world. So whenever you can understand the word of God rightly divided, you can also see that you can understand what's going on out there. So they may come a time, and we've in history, we've have went through some dark ages in history, and it may come another time that the only way you can worship God dispensationally, like what we're doing, is in underground areas or just little groups, which the Grace Church is not a big church. It's, you know, there's Grace Churches all over. So, you know, and then the government may take over the churches and tell you this is what you got to preach and this is what you got to do. And you know what? People's going to go there. And people's going to think that's what God is doing. But God's working through the body of Christ today. That's the church. It's not an institution. It's not bricks and mortar. It's you and I, members of the body of Christ. So we need to proclaim this good news just about everywhere. Now, let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. We ask that as we go through this hour, we be mindful of who we are in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, we're in lesson 8. And we're going through the Bible in 7 hours. And we're in lesson 8, so that's already 8 hours. And so I'm not telling you, you can't go through it in 7 hours. You can. But we're taking our time. And we're building this foundation, because when we finish through the Bible, we're going to go through the Bible again in a fundamentals of dispensationalism. We're going to start showing you what dispensationalism is in your Bible. So I would encourage you very much to be a part of that, whether it's through the internet, whether it's coming here locally and studying with us. Bring your Bible, bring your friend. And we asked you, just give us 6 weeks, you know, to understand your Bible. It may go against everything you've ever been taught as a child, but the thing is, we believe the Bible. We're Bible believers. We're people of the book. And we use the Bible, the King James Bible, for the English-speaking people. It's authorized, and we have the Word of God from cover to cover and from truth to truth. So we need to know that you have the Word of God, and once you have the Word of God, you can understand what God is doing today. You don't have to make believe. You don't have to think, well, wonder what God's doing. Well, we have His Word, what He's doing. So as we study the Word of God, we are in lesson 8, and I'm going to close up this chart once again, because we're continuing the study. And this time period right here, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And lesson 7, we left off with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the gospel for that kingdom was the kingdom of at hand. And identifying the believing remnant in the apostate nation Israel. You got to remember, when Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, the nation Israel was an apostate. They was already serving other gods. They were serving themselves. And he was identifying the believing remnant in that nation Israel. And they're forming the little flock. And the gathering, we left off with the gathering of the government structure in his kingdom. Now, to continue with this theme, go to Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. In order to continue what Lord Jesus Christ is doing, this brings on the importance of water baptism in this time period. And Mark chapter 1 verse 4 says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. Verse 28 says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of" what? "Of John. But," verse 30, "the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsels of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." So, is the Pharisees and lawyers a part of the nation Israel? Yes, they're the ones helped govern the nation Israel. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 7? He was a Pharisee. According to this, he was not baptized the baptism of John. Okay? So, that's very, very important that you had to be baptized at the baptism of John back then. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Verse 24. It says, "When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel." So here is John the Baptist out in the wilderness preaching, "Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's to that nation Israel. And it's a national baptism as a means of a national repentance. It wasn't so much individually. He was preaching to that nation. That nation was supposed to have been who God put on this earth: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay, and then Israel. And he used, and we looked at that before, Israel is supposed to be a light in this dark world. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Get Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Very, very important verse for the nation Israel. Verse 5 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenants, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God did not speak until the body of Christ. Back here in Moses, they're becoming a kingdom of priests. How do you become what do you have to do to become a kingdom of priests? John the Baptist is telling you here. The nation there. Look at Exodus chapter 29. Verse 1. And this is a thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. Look at verse 4. And Aaron and his son thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with" what? "Water." Verse 7. "Then shall thou take the anointing oil and pour upon his head and anoint him." This is what they're going to do. It's a national cleansing. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Verse 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name." Now, you should have underlined this when I say "I will." I will. Now who's I? That's God saying this. Sanctify my great name which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, and when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24. Then I will take you from among the heathen and gather you, Israel, out of all the countries, and will bring it you into your own land. Has that happened yet? No, it hasn't. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, Israel, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, Israel. That's who he's talking to. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be what? Your God. So this is a national cleansing for the nation Israel. It's not individually. Okay? And so there could be... So why, once again, Exodus 19 and Ezekiel 36, why was the nation Israel to be cleansed? So they could do what?
To be royal priests.
It's a function of that kingdom of priests. Isaiah 61, 1 Peter chapter 2. Those verses right there, that nation Israel is a nation of priests. That's why you got to be very, very careful when you're doing things that are pertaining to Israel, the water baptism, the spiritual cleansing, stuff like that, because today, Lord Jesus Christ, I may be jumping a little bit, is not building a nation of priests. Okay? He's not building a nation. He's building a body. Okay, which we're ministers. This is a different thing, and we'll get into that later on. Now, also notice in Matthew chapter 3. Now, you're in Ezekiel. We read Ezekiel 25. Matthew chapter 3 says this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking, okay? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That was his mission. That was his commission, if you will. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Who's he talking to there? Or talking about? Talking about Jesus Christ. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. How many baptism is in that verse? Okay, let's look at the water. You just read Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, right? Look at John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And some of these verses we're going to look over and over again. So you might as well get used to that. John chapter 1, talking about water here. John chapter 1, verse 31. John chapter 1, verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to who? Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bared the rocket, saying, record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water. Now, who sent him to baptize with water?
Jesus Christ.
Not only Jesus Christ, but God the Father. Okay? The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as which baptized with the what? Holy Ghost. Verse 34. And I saw and bared that this is the Son of God. Okay? That water, what that water was done, he was sent to baptize with water. What about the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye here have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not what? Many days since. So they're going to, here's the Spirit, right? And now what? What's left? The fire. Okay, verse 12. Let's see what verse 12 says. Then returned they into Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives, which was from a journey day. I don't think I've got the right verse. Matthew 12. Back to Matthew. Sorry. Matthew chapter 3. Huh? Okay, sorry. Got to start climbing grade. When you start climbing grade, you got to downshift a little bit. You know, just a little bit. As much as us truckers want to hit that hill and keep going. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 12 says, who fan is in his hand and will thoroughly purge his floor and gathering his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And verse 7 in the same chapter, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So that's what that fire is going to do. The fire is going to come down and purge them, okay? Not water. Water flooded the earth and flooded the universe. This time it's going to be fire. Far. But so you have water, spirit, you have the water, you have the spirit, and you have the fire that's going to come down. Now, he, his own, received him not. This is the stage that he's, John's setting up here. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Talking about John the Baptist here. John chapter 1. Turn over to John. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is Lord Jesus Christ, right? Verse 12. But as many as received him, to give them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Here's the stage being set. He came unto his own. Okay? Who is his own there? How do you know that? The Bible tells you so. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Don't take my word for it. Don't take any preacher's word for it. Believe the word of God. First chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us. Now who is that us there? That's who Isaiah is talking to, the nation Israel, okay? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be named, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's going to take place over here. What is Romans chapter 15? Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, I'm slowing down. Verse 8. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. This is Apostle Paul talking in the but now period, if you will. Now I say that Jesus Christ was. Now new versions change that. New version says has become. That should throw up a red flag to you. Because Jesus Christ has become. Okay, he was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God and to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's who Jesus Christ was. He came unto his own. And his own received him what?
Not.
The nation rejected him. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. You know, that should get to you a little bit. That God the Father sent God the Son down to this earth to the nation Israel to be their king so all of us Gentiles would have some light. But they received him not. You ever been felt that way? You know, sometimes you have. You know, I think of our president. You know, he was elected president. And you know what? A lot of people did not receive him. But the man kept going on. Okay? Jesus Christ kept going on. He knew what was going to go on, but he kept going on. His own received him not, and then that nation rejected him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make what? Him known. That's de-emphasizing his public ministry. Now, you know, he came we looked at John the Baptist, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord Jesus Christ, after John the Baptist gets his head cut off, Jesus Christ picks it right up and said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We also know that he commissioned the 12, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? That kept going. But what did he just say there? Don't make that known. He's de-emphasizing his public ministry. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, if we was walking in, we'd probably be ecstatic if we was Bible believers and understood who he was. We were like, what do you mean? Jesus is here. But what does he say? So he's de-emphasizes his messianic office. Don't tell nobody. Now, who was his disciples? The little flock that he was giving that government to. Okay? Over here. And he's saying, hey, don't tell nobody. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from what? Now he's de-emphasizing his messianic glory. Okay? He's coming King of King, Lord of Lords. And we're going to look at some things in just a little bit. That he's the Son of David, and then the Son of Adam. Okay? And there's an emphasis on that, and very important that he is the Son of David. As many as received him, who received him? Who did he train during that time period?
Disciple,
the little flock, for the ministry they would have during his absence. So that's why he's withdrawing from the nation, and he's going to that little flock and going to feed that little flock so that little flock could feed the nation. So he wasn't just going to throw them out there. Many of us have been in training training situations that they want to train you so you'll be able to train others. You know, I've been a trainer for truck driver for many, 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 many years. And I've trained them from 18 to 80, it seems like, you know. And it seems like the older people that come in, like, I can do this and I can do that. And you just sit there and listen. I said, that may be true, but this is what they want you to do. Now, you may know how to do everything you have in the past, but this is what this company wants you to do. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, was doing, okay? He was trying to train them, hey, I'm going to be gone. And you know what a lot of them probably thought and did think, what do you mean gone? Because we know after he died and was buried and rose again, the first question that they asked him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when will you again restore the kingdom to who? Israel. That's all they've been trained to do about a kingdom. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. The work, the training, the little flock. Verse 2. Thou hast given, as thou, if I'm in the same book, and thou hast given me him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as that as thou hast given him. Verse 6. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. God so loved the world. That world was Israel, by the way. Okay, it's not this green grass of home. Thou were, and thou givest them me, and thou hast have kept thy word, for thou hast kept the word. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and thou have received them, and have known surely that I will come out of thee, and they have believed, and they didst thou that didst send me. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ give them?
The words.
Words. We have words. Words mean something. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thy own name. I'm getting a little tongue-tied this morning. So.
Yes, Lord, keep through.
Keep through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So he's encouraging them that, hey, keep them. They're one with me. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, who's the son of perdition? Judas. Okay? It's also the Antichrist over here. Verse 24. I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Now, the work, the training, all that we gave him power to become. Lord, God the Father gave Jesus Christ the power to become, and the early Acts period will continue that ministry that he committed to them. Okay? Now, what does Hebrews chapter 2 say? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and is confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, where was that taking place at? Who heard the Lord Jesus Christ?
The disciples.
Yeah, back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? And verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. After the conclusion of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, That little flock, that believing remnant, is posed to continue the ministry of Christ and had trained them to be performed and to extend that national Israel to renew opportunity of repentance and salvation. The opportunity to be the last, at last being the blessings of the world they were created to be. So think about this. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of sins. The 12. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of sins. He died, buried, rose again. In the early part of Acts, we're going to start to see this is the kingdom at hand, but the early part of Acts, the kingdom is offered. It's not offered back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where a lot of people get mistakenly thinking, the kingdom's at hand, we've got to do this, we've got to repent, be baptized. No, you don't. That's the nation Israel. So the nation Israel nationally going to get a repentance over here. So let's move on just a little bit. Why four Gospels? Why four Gospel records? Okay? That's an important question. Because why not five? Why not 12? You know, why not 66 Gospels? Isn't it good news all through the Bible? That's what gospel means, good news. So, the Holy Spirit chose to record four accounts, okay, for a specific purpose. And the four is the number of the earth, by the way. Four corners, okay, the earth, four seasons, that type of thing. And it gives a fourfold picture of the Lord's earthly ministry. And his earthly life, that's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, earthly ministry of Christ to Israel only. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to see an unfold in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the most wonderful life ever spent on this earth. You know, that's why we keep telling ourselves, you know, today is another great day of grace, and we should rejoice in it. You know, I know it may look dark out there and gloomy and, you know, in Ohio. You know, we was talking about this the other day. Ohio gets dark and gray. Sun don't come up till late. You know, I can imagine living in Alaska, you know, but it's dark and gray and gloomy without sunshine. How does it affect your body? You know what I mean? But once you know how to take care of your body, guess what? It's a beautiful day out there, right? Keep them negative ways. Keep them negative ways away from us. That type of thing. But look, on. They are not a complete biography. Look at John chapter 21. Does the Bible give you every detail of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done?
No.
You know why? You're getting ready to find out. John 21, verse 25. And there are as also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Think about that. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ done, there couldn't be enough books on this world to tell you everything about him. But I tell you what, I tell you a lot of people writes a lot of books to tell you what he didn't do. You know what I mean? Like to tell you that this is not the Word of God, that's what I'm saying. Or add two. One or two would be too few. And thousands are not enough. Right? They are four inspired prophetic portraits, each written with a distinct design according to the principle of that selection. Now, Matthew, we went through, I don't know what, 2.5 years in the book of Matthew, maybe, close to it. We have it all on audio if you want to go back through it. I want you to be here, though. But look, the royal ruler, that's what Matthew portrays, the king of who? Israel. The book of Matthew is about a king. That's why it's a transitional book too. Okay? You cannot take the things out of Matthew and apply it today. You do, you're committing spiritual larceny. Book of Matthew is looking for that time period over here. That's why he's telling them the Beatitudes and all that stuff. He's telling them what they had to do in the kingdom. Because what did we just realize? He came to his own, and his own refused him not. Now, if they would have accepted him, then they would have done exactly what Matthew is. Now, Mark is about a wonderful worker, the servant of Jehovah. Man, I think that's right. He's a wonderful worker. Okay, I got it in my book here. I just got a freeze here. Look, Luke, a magnificent man, the perfect son of man. And John demonstrates deity, the eternal God. Now, this fourfold presentation of Christ was indicate, I'm glad you love me like who I am, you know what I mean? Thank you. In the scriptures, the four behold prophecies. Okay, many of you know these things. Behold thou king. You want to look at the verses so you know where the verses are at? I'm glad you said that. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Okay? Behold thy what?
King.
Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and the fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the
branch.
Behold, my servant. Got it? Look at Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And I speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be the priest upon the throne, and the counselor of peace shall be between them. Now who's this? Behold, who? The man. Isaiah chapter 40. Go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up unto the mountain, high mountain, O Jerusalem, and bring us good tidings. Lift up thy voice and thy strength. Lift it up, and be not afraid unto the cities of Judah. Behold your what? Your God. So here's, behold your God. Now, there's branch titles on that, okay? Right, with behold thou king is also behold the righteous branch. Okay, the righteous branch is the king. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. My servant, the branch. Okay, that's Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. The man whose name is the branch. You just read that a few minutes ago. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. The branch of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. And then there's four faces. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now this is a little interesting. How many cherubims around the throne of God right now? Ezekiel chapter, the four faces of a cherubim. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10. And as the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and the fourth had the face of the ox on the left side, and they four also had a face of what?
Eagle.
Eagle. What's chapter 10, verse 14? Ezekiel 10, chapter 14. No, chapter 10, verse 14. Sorry. Put a little heat down here. At least you won't fall asleep when it's warm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 10, verse 14. And everyone had four faces, and the face of first face was the face of a cherubim, and the second face was a face of a man, and the third was the face of a lion, and the fourth was the face of an eagle. Revelation talks about the same thing about the four faces. Now you have a lion, which is Matthew, King. You have an ox, which is Mark. You have a man, which is Luke. And you have an eagle, which is John. Being the closest creatures to the throne, the most accurate portrayed the likeness of his divine nature. Now, what is Exodus chapter 26? Exodus chapter 26. Exodus 26, verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of what? So note, there are four pillars on which the cherubims are embroidered and the veil hung. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 shows the veil, the pictures of his flesh. Also wood, humanity, and gold is his deity. You with me? He's hanging there. So as the four pillars serve the display of the beautiful veil, so the four gospels manifest the perfection of God the Son tabernacle among men. What is Revelation chapter 4? Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass that likened to crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of his eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. This is the order of the four gospel records that we just said. Now, although each writer presents the Lord Jesus Christ in four ways, all four ways, the specific focus of each is obviously to overlook and not to be an accident. You know, they just didn't do that. Notice a few things there. But before I do, how many cherubims was there that you read? Now, you know who Lucifer was? Lucifer was also a what?
Cherubim.
And he was the fifth cherubim. Okay? And he was above the throne of God, leading worship service. God created him. He had beautiful pipes. He could sing, and he did the music. Now, he's not there no more. That's why you have four. You have four gospels. You know what the fifth gospel is? Paul's gospel. Okay? And that's something you need to think about. The fifth cherubim, the fifth gospel takes care of that. Okay? And when Satan had fallen and God flooded the universe, had changed his demeanor. And each one of those creatures around that throne room of God, there's one set of creatures are not represented there. The amphibious group and the reptiles. So when you see Satan in these pictures and he's grotesque and the beast and all that stuff, what does that make you think of? Evil sea monsters and stuff. That's where they're at. Just thought I'd throw that out with you. Because water didn't affect them. It didn't affect them in the universal flood, and it didn't affect them in the flood during Noah's days. And I keep saying this over and over and over. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, the possessions of the devils was real. They was possessing people, inside of people. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked, came up on a group, and they asked him, what's your name? Jesus asked him. He said, legions, which means many. All in that land over there, possessed. God of this world was in that land over there and in the strongholds. God of this world's in many places, okay? What did they ask? They asked the Lord, are you here to torment us before our time? They know it, they're coming. But it wasn't a time. So when God looked at that, it's dispensational thinking. So what did they ask? To be placed in the swine, and swine ran off the cliff into the water, into the sea. Hiding. Let's move on. You think about that cherubim though. Genealogy. Matthew established his royal rights to the throne of David. We may get through this. Time sure does fly, doesn't it? Matthew 1. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 traces genealogy back to David and Abraham. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? Abraham. David is the royal, what? What is he? What is? Why is David important?
He's going to sit on the throne.
The throne, okay? It's about a throne back here. How about Abraham? Why the son of Abraham?
Father of faith.
Not the father of faith so much, but what was promised to Abraham?
Land
and what? A nation. Okay? And notice the reversed order of the emphasis. What does verse 6 say? And Jesus begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been his wife of Urias. That wasn't a good thing, really, was it? You know who Bathsheba was? That's Solomon's mom. What did David do? Committed adultery, didn't he? Yeah. Okay, and had her husband killed. His royal genealogy from chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to verse 17. And by the way, look at I don't want to go jump ahead. Verse 17 is about his royal genealogy. You know, many of us search our genealogy, don't we? Ancestor.com, all that stuff. I get fascinated on some things. And there's supposedly kings in my lineage, okay? That type of thing. Now, that won't buy me a cup of coffee or anything, but it's just still fascinating. You have the record of Lord Jesus Christ genealogy right here. And so, only back to Abraham, through royal tribe of Judah, not Reuben, the firstborn, verse 2, and the kingly line of Solomon, verse 6. Note, the woman included in verses 3, 5, and 6 reminds Israel of her need for a redeemer king and his goal, you know, Ruth and all that, right? You know who they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Brought that woman in there. Usually, from my understanding, is Israel don't recognize the woman in the genealogy, but Matthew does. So you need to understand that you know, it's awful funny when they caught the man and woman in the act of adultery. What did they do?
Pulled the woman out.
Yeah, they blamed the woman. They didn't blame the man. So, three divisions in verse 17. Look at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away to Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away to Babylon until Christ is 14 generations. 14 generations selected in each. 2 times 7 is what? Which is a perfect testimony. 42 times 7 times 6 is 42. Is the perfect man for the job. Then you have traces through Joseph, a son of David. That's chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And Joseph is the legal father of the record, though whom Christ can acquire the right of the title Son of David. Now, the virgin birth is protected and proclaimed in verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called what? You notice he's born and not begat? Okay, that's very important. Matthew pieces the genealogy at the very beginning because it is important to establish his royal rights to that throne. And his purpose is to demonstrate that the covenants made with Abraham and David are vested in who? Jesus Christ. You know, our time is up right there. We can end there, and knowing that next week we can pick up Luke. But I hope this has enlightened you enough to know that what Jesus Christ is doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's portraying who he is. Okay? And to know that today, the gospel is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The good news. But it's in the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay? And which is right here in the dispensation of grace of God. That's what God is doing today. Okay? This period right here, when we get to it, it's postponed. And when you get to the book of Acts, Acts is a transitional book. And it starts out Israel up here. Down here, lo, we go to the Gentiles. Israel starts to fall. Have they stumbled that they fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, Israel starts to fall and diminishing. That little flock is saved, guys. But what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, he's not forming a little flock. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a shepherd to lead you. You have Jesus, the head of a body. We have the mind of Christ through the Word of God that we can follow him. Okay? The great shepherd, the great bishop, if you will. And follow him today. The gospel that saves today is that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And you trust that, and that alone, he saves you, seals you, and sanctifies you, and sets you apart. Now, sanctification is what I think a lot of us deals with. We can't set ourselves apart because this flesh is in the way. Now, Paul tells us all the time, you know, Paul's writings through Romans through Philemon, he does not write to a lost person. You got to remember that. So when he talks about yield your members to righteousness, unrighteousness, he knows what he's talking about, and it's the flesh. Okay? And we get in the flesh all the time, guys. All the time. And it's depending on how we handle it. And knowing who we are in Christ, he don't take it away from us. Okay? So I can encourage you today, if you're here listening for the first time, and you're not sure about your salvation. That all you had says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I know God's consciousness is in every human being. And it's pointing towards God, wanting to know God. That's a God conscience. But once you see yourself as a sinner, that you can't find, you know you can't save yourself. There's an answer. God's got a solution. He sent His Son to die for us. Okay? You trust that His death became your death, His burial became your burial, His resurrection became your. He saves you. Okay? And then you get in the Word of God to study out what He wants you to do. And that's why it's very, very important to understand rightly dividing the Word of truth. And if you do that today and trust what you have heard, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, He saves you, guys. Mm-hmm. He saves you. And that's very, very exciting, because many of us has been in that dead man, and we heard the glorious gospel. And it took a dead man. You want to know what miracles God's doing today? He take a dead man that's going to die and go to hell and make him alive, that's now going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to email us or text us or message us, we love to hear from you, see how you're doing. If you want to help support the ministry, we do have some ministry needs. This box cast that we're going out on all these platforms, you can go to our website and there's a donate button. If you're watching box cast or through our website, dispensationalbiblechurch.org, there's a donate button there to help with this ministry here. We'd just like to hear from you too. So my encouragement with you is to continue to study with us. And we look forward to seeing you until this time next week. May God bless you.